Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us here. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Rachel from Vancouver, Washington.
And where are you singing, Rachel?
John chapter 1, starting in verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. In Him was life.
In the last podcast, we went over the focus of the four Gospels, and it's exactly the moment that Jesus dies on the tree, and He gives His life for the many. This is where sonship begins. It's not fully accomplished until the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, on the 50th day. And ironically, here we have Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, shouting out that this day, this 50th day, we would become sons of God in His image. And we are in John, the 19th chapter. And the next verse is 38. This next context is 38 to the end of the chapter 42. But we were talking here, and Andy mentioned something about the people that were surrounding Jesus and that were standing by on the cross. They hadn't all fled like Peter, like the ones that are going to lead the fellowship, lead the body of Christ. We're talking about, one was, but the rest had fled, except for one. And who else was there? What were you talking about, Andy?
You know, there's a place that it says that people were looking at Him from afar off. And here you have His mother, who is a very famous figure in the Bible, Mary. And you have her sister with her, and nobody's ever heard of her. And then you have Mary Magdalene, had seven demons, and she could have had all kinds of problems, all sorts of emotional,
psychotic, whatever problems, but here she was. Jesus had healed her, and they gathered as close as they could get to them to get to Jesus, to where they could hear every word he was saying. They could hear his gasp. They could hear all of these things, and they literally were there when he said, "It is finished." And there will be people today that come to Jesus, and not all the people that come are going to be like his mom, and they're not going to be like John, and they're not going to be like the sister-in-law. They're going to be people that you would not think would come, like someone that had seven demons. They came, and we have to let all of those people in, and it's not just going to be the pretty people. It's going to be the people that God calls.
We're going to read verse 38 through 42. "And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave leave. He came, therefore, and took away his body. And Nicodemus also came, who at first came to him by night, bringing a roll of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. They took therefore the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes with spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb where a man never yet had been laid. There then, because of the Jews' preparation, because the tomb was near, they laid Jesus." Well, here's Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night a long time ago, back in, I believe, in Matthew.
Why did he come by night, Dan?
Because he he was kind of doing it in secret because he didn't want everybody to know, because he was a ruler of the Jews, and he was doing it. So the ruler of the Jews didn't know that he was going to see Jesus. And Jesus told Nicodemus he had to be born from above and born of the water and the Spirit to even see or enter the kingdom of the heaven.
Now, when you go to a religious leader, you want to go to somebody that knows what they're talking about. Remember Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus. How much did Nicodemus really know about salvation?
He didn't appear to know much, because Jesus told him, he said, "You're a ruler of the Jews and you don't even know these things?"
He did not know enough to lead a man to salvation.
Wow.
Zero. Isn't he the one that asked, "How can a person enter again into his mother's womb?" Isn't that the one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He had no clue. Zero clues. They don't know the step-by-step. Today, ministers do not know about the temple. They might go into all these kind of details, but they really don't know how it works. They don't know the direction of things. They don't know the size of things. They don't know the purpose of things. And every bit of furniture, the placement of all the rooms, and they ask them how many doors are in it. And how do you get through each door? And what are the names of the doors? There's three doors, three names. Do they even know those? Nicodemus didn't know anything.
It looks like he got up nerve, though, and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So he was much bolder than he was in Matthew. That wasn't done at night in the dark. That was well known.
Now, this context starts with the guy named Joseph of Arimathea, and we have no idea who he was because he was never talked about before. And he was coming secretly for fear of the Jews, because here's a secret follower too. So this context now has a doubling. They have two by two of secret followers of Jesus, and one comes and asks for his body, and the other one came and brought all of the things that would prepare Jesus. So these two people were the secret worshipers, the secret followers of Jesus that came and took care of this. And I never really considered it that was two of them were secret, but that's two of them.
And it wasn't one of the 12, was it?
It was not. It was these guys.
One was a traitor. He'd already died. So there's 11, but there was one who would replace him later. That's not done yet. So there's 11. They've all fled except for one, John, who was—
He was at the cross.
He was at the cross.
But he didn't do this.
But who showed themselves to be the strongest here? The three ladies, Mary, Mary, and Mary. Am I wrong there? Mm-mm. I think they were all Marys.
They were. Mary, my wife. There are three Marys.
Now, did you ever pick up that before?
three Marys.
I never did.
And wife, yeah, three Marys and John. And then no men came to do this for his burial except two secret guys. They fled.
Wow.
These guys didn't flee because nobody was looking for them.
Because it's not done yet.
Yes.
There's still something else that has to happen.
Right.
Wow.
And these play a key part in this, the secret followers of Jesus. And they made sure that he got put in a tomb and—
Never been occupied before.
Never been occupied
before. In a garden.
Oh, that's, yeah. A garden.
Yeah.
And man was kicked out of the garden.
I never saw that before.
I just saw it too.
You know, you slow down, you get with your friends, you start talking about this in a friendly group, but you can't have know-it-alls. I'm serious. You cannot have know-it-alls that have preconceived ideas. You've got to go through this book fresh from the start. Jesus is going to be laid in a tomb that nobody has been there before. You cannot start with junk and get to the truth. The Bible is for people that want to start over from the very beginning and really learn it, lay all this stuff you've ever heard aside before, and really open yourselves up to really learn it fresh. And here it's in the garden. That's a neat pickup, Dan. What do you think about that? I know why. Dan's a gardener. He has a beautiful garden.
Well, I was thinking, you know, you'd think in the graveyard, right? Or you'd think of something like that where they'd get buried. Or it wasn't out in the wilderness. They didn't like Jesus. So.
And it was very close.
It was very close, yeah.
His daughter should be picking up now, too, because she likes gardening, too.
I do like gardening. And gardens don't grow in deserts and desolate places. And that is often a perception when you think of Jesus' death, but he was in a garden.
And a garden is a place that's cared for by a caretaker. It's not a patch of weeds. It's something that someone's taken time.
And this is where God was used to meeting with Adam and Eve for 100.
Never saw that.
And we're not talking, okay, so if he did it every day, that's 365 days. And let's say it's 100 years, multiply 365 times 100.
A lot.
35,000 times plus.
Ooh.
I'm not sure. Get a calculator out and check me out on that. But anyway, it's a lot of meetings, and you might even multiply that times three. It might have been three times a day, because that's how many times some people pray, seven times a day, some three times. I think it was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were used to three times a day, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So then multiply that 35,000 times three, you got 100,000. Maybe it's a million. I don't know.
Wow.
Get your calculators out and figure that one out. But that's a lot of... Isn't that the best place really on earth is a garden to meet?
It's a very respectful place.
And there's a refreshing and a freshness and a new growth. And when you pinch off all the dead stuff, and can you imagine the new heaven and new earth? There'll be no more death. You won't have to go clean away the old with your gardens. It's going to be so different.
I would really like to have a garden that was not a garden of Whedon.
Garden of Wheaton instead.
Garden of Whedon.
I like the Garden of Eden. You know, we get like good stuff too. Out of it.
But the gardens are about life, about living things and caring for them and helping them to grow and prosper and bear fruit. And those are why people, and that's where he was laid.
And our health is in the garden. And that's where Adam and Eve would meet God, in the garden.
I know. Nicodemus' first meeting with Jesus, he was proven to not know anything. But Jesus told him all these things, and didn't he just talked to him. And so Nicodemus didn't quit following him. He started following him. Really, he came by night, he talked to him, and then he kept following him across time until he died. And after it, he came over, and he was one of the group that hated him, but he didn't hate him. And so we can't get biased to think that somebody that comes away from something that a bunch of people disbelieve, but there's somebody right in the middle of it, one of them, and he died for him too. So here he comes. And you know, he was a wealthy man, and he brought 100 pounds of stuff, very expensive. So he gave much. He didn't just come, he came to bury him perfectly as he could. That's who this guy was. It doesn't talk about him anymore, but you can kind of think the end of the story here.
The disciples had fled, and Peter was definitely hiding out. And even to a young girl, he denied. And it broke his heart when he realized that he had done that. Finally, and the cock crowed, and he went and wept. But you have John that was still by Jesus' side, and now you have Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and a bunch of ladies.
That's where you was have.
Where was Joseph's father?
He must not have been around in the home because Jesus had someone else take care of her. Her husband wasn't around because that happened.
Remember, she and the kids went to be with Jesus. They were looking for him. They were outside of his house. Yes, he had a house.
Yes.
And they were outside of it, but it doesn't say Joseph.
He was not mentioned there.
No, that's and back in Mark
were,
chapter
And the
three.
Kids were older. Obviously, yeah. They were old. Jesus was the first, and he was 33 years old. So these other children, they weren't children. They were adults.
We're taking a walk with Jesus. This was started by a Jewish fella that started us back in 1969, 1970, when we started this walk. And a lot of our discussions were very much like this. They were very real-life discussions. They weren't religious, you know, like you'd read a book and you get a flavor from that. It's a very flat flavor. We would talk about all different kinds of things, wouldn't we, Andy?
Yeah.
That was a fun part about it. Ray always liked Andy best because he would have us sit at a different table. He'd have Andy come, and he and Andy would have fun, and the rest of us were too serious because we were trying to learn the Bible. We were still a bit stiff, but Andy made Ray laugh. Anyway, that was rather fun, but that was our, I could tell you a lot of stories that are rather fun because it was very dynamic the way we learned. Ray would introduce us to the real life. Look at the Bible and really look at it in a living way, not in a pretentious or a make-believe flat way.
A religious way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're given that mindset and that little bit of direction, then you'll be very open to what the Holy Spirit shows you. And then you'll repeat it. And he would come back around and ask questions and things like that. He'd say, well, Andy, what have you been learning? I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen you in 6 months. What have you been learning? I said, well, I've got a couple things that I could tell you I've learned. And I would tell him some things, and he goes, I have never heard of that before, what you just told me. I didn't even know that story was in there like that. And I won't go into the story, but he would come back, and I was like that because he encouraged me to be free. He encouraged me to be free.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. There's freedom. And then there's another law. It's called the law of liberty in James. And so we were free to really talk about things, not to have these limitations like you're in a denomination. We started talking real life about the Bible. And he got us started, and he was only with us 15 years and left in 1985. We've been left to ourselves this long, Andy.
I know.
And Dan and
it's a
Rachel.
Long time.
And we've tried to stay on the same path that we haven't left it, but he left us with the gift of freedom and a desire to stay on the path, a desire to keep going forward, Jesus being the guide, walking with Jesus in his footsteps. That's what he left us with, and the freedom to be practical and look at these people in a practical sense and what they went through and so on. So here, now Jesus is dead. He's going to be in a tomb that has never been used before. It's going to be fresh and brand new. And wouldn't you know God would set that up? He'd give Jesus the best place.
In a garden.
In a garden. And people tended him. God allowed that. So here are the religious people that wanted to get away with him. They forgot something. His bones. Because in Ezekiel, it says these bones are going to come together in a final event, but it came with Jesus. His bones were all out of joint. I think it says, doesn't it? It says that in the scriptures from hanging on the cross, his bones were out of joint in another place. Hmm. I think Dan's looking for it right there, but it's not there. I don't know where it is,
but maybe
it's in a psalm that I've seen that. You remember that, Andy?
Well, I know that from how they did the crucifixion, they stood up this piece of wood, and it wouldn't stand on its own, so it would have to go deeper in the ground. And when it would go up and it would hit the bottom, it could knock your shoulders out, throw your shoulders out, knees out. It could do all kinds
of
things
to you. Maybe even your ribs and so on.
Yeah, it could twist you, so that is real.
But I think at some place, maybe somebody could find that and let us know where that scripture is. But I think it says all his bones were out of joint.
And I'll go back to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, because, you know, I didn't see anybody telling them what to do, nor did they conference with each other.
Yes. God's
going to do things.
He's the orchestra leader.
He's going to do things in your life and tell you what to do and tell another what to do, and yet it ended up being a concert. They came together for the good.
Think of how we all met each other in the early days. God led the concert, and we saw each other. There was something that brought us all together.
Before I ever heard anything about the Lord at all, my brother-in-law took me over. I've been here about a week in 1978. He took me over to Portland to this company named Mill and Power and Associates. And my brother-in-law, John, he went out in the back and he got a guy in the back who was working and could build things. And, you know, he was run in the shop, and he came up to me, and he was a young man. I was a young guy. I was 24, and he was younger than me. And he goes, "Hi, Andy, this is Dan." And it's this guy, Dan Robertson, in this room right now. And it was 5 or 6 years until I met him again. And when I met him again, he ended up coming and following God after I had. Isn't that a story?
He connected
I'm not Joseph of Arimathea, and he's not Nicodemus, but they were put together. God put those people together.
Now, speaking of the nut house, didn't you meet me in the nut house, Dan?
There was a place in Aloha, Oregon called the Old Nut Loft.
Oh, I thought it was a nut house,
no,
but go ahead.
No, that was a different place. You probably stayed. But
okay.
Anyway, I remember seeing you in there. It was like an art gallery, deli kind of thing.
They sold nuts.
Yeah.
Filberts and stuff,
and
didn't they?
And I can't remember much else about it, but I just confident that I saw your face there. And I live just down the street from there. So
in Hillsboro or Forest Grove?
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, Oregon.
Oh, Aloha, yeah.
Well, see, there's two of us in this room. Now, we met. Isn't that something?
It really is.
If we go back and look at it, God had connected us.
Was there anything else we wanted to bring up? Where are we now? In 20?
Yeah, one other thing I noticed is that when Nicodemus was talking with Jesus when he came to him by night, It never shows where he was disrespectful or arguing with Jesus. He came, and obviously because of now, you read in the end of John that after Jesus' death, he must have had a lot of respect.
From God. We know that you are from God because no man can do these things that you do.
So he had a lot of respect for Jesus.
And he was part of the death, the blood, and the resurrection. He did exactly the right thing at the right time, part of Jesus dying on the cross, you know, being buried, and the resurrection. And he did exactly the right thing.
And Nicodemus was someone that loved God before Jesus was ever on the scene. He loved him. And so when he saw Jesus, he knew that he was not a regular man. He knew it.
If you think about it, really the conversation back in Matthew was about death, blood, and resurrection. It was about dying and being raised up into a new life. And here he is when Jesus is going through that, dying. Never saw that before.
These stories are very rich. They're very rich, and the Holy Spirit brings out all of these things that you can't look up, you can't figure out. They have to be revealed to your mind. And when you're around people that are following this, around a crowd, like, wait a minute, let's see, there's four people here. Oh, just like that other group.
And in this group, there's a lady here too.
Yes, that's right.
Except for it's the wrong proportion.
Yeah.
There was one guy and three ladies.
And now it's like three guys and one lady. That's good.
Yeah, that's funny. Chapter 20, verse 1 through 2. Might as well get started in that.
Now on the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and sees the stone taken away from the tomb. She runs therefore and comes unto Simon Peter and unto the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and says to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him.
And Jesus went, and apparently there's one place that said they didn't believe him, and Jesus gave him a good bawling out, an upbraiding. But this is a different picture that happens next, and we don't have enough time to really read this and discuss it. But is there anything else on what we have read so far that we didn't cover?
I can say one small thing about this. Mary went and got two people, not one. And she got Simon Peter, whom she must have known.
But he fled.
And he fled. And she got the other disciple whom Jesus loved, who was
standing
at the cross.
Yeah, with the three ladies.
Yes. So that's the picture.
I've never read this next part with that in mind, thinking about the way we just talked about it.
I haven't either.
Never. So this is just other layers, like an onion, just unfolding. So many different layers in the Bible. And we are running out of time. Thank you for joining us. See us again. Thank you. And may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.